Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Please be seated. Be seated if you can. Talk to us for about 50 minutes. So you keep playing. When I saw the theme of the meeting, I started dialoguing with the Holy Spirit. Say, Lord, what is Spirit Fest? What is Spirit Festival? What do we expect when we come for a festival of spirits? And the Lord began to open my understanding that in a spirit festival, three things happen. And so I will begin with the first layer. The Lord told me in a festival of spirits, the first thing that happens is that men are transited. Because they have to stop functioning from their mortal side and start functioning from their immortal side. The reason is because man is a hybrid creature. And not just man, the believer is a hybrid creature. When God wanted to create man, He wanted to formulate a hybrid creature. And that was the first time that concept existed in the realms of creation. Because before God began that kind of wisdom, the first kind of beings that existed were monotonous in their expression. If you are a spirit, you are a spirit. If you are an animal, you are an animal. That's why the animals you see have no soul in them. And this is why spirits don't have physical bodies. Their bodies are spirits. But when God began the project of man, He wanted to galvanize the realms together so that the spirit realm and the natural realm can fuse into one and begin to function as one unit. And the reason is because God is spirit, but He wanted to also live in the physical realm that He was about to create, because this was a new order of civilization that was evolving from the heart of God. And the only bridge that God could create to harmonize this realm together was a creature that sustained a hybrid order. So man was planned originally to be flesh and spirit, coexisting as one. But the project was truncated. And so when God came in the form of Christ and decided to deposit himself in man, that protocol that was truncated was restored. And so the man in Christ is a hybrid creature. The man in Christ is a mortal and is an immortal. The man in Christ is human and is divine. The man in Christ is flesh and is spirit. And so the Lord told me, when you come to spirit first, He said, what truly will happen to people is that they will migrate from their mortal element and begin to function from their immortal element. They will migrate from their fleshly element and begin to function in their divine element. The reason is because if we don't maximize our divine element, we will be defeated by the challenges of life. If you go into the world and you want to function function as a man. The moment spirits become involved, you become disadvantaged. You may be doing a business and succeeding based on the training you have received and based on the experiences you've had, and you can succeed for 30 years. If the day a spirit becomes involved, your effort of 30 years can be rubbish in a moment. That's why you can see a witch of 10 years can enter a family and destroy a family where the head of the home is 70 years old. Because your age in the flesh is nothing when a spirit is involved. And so in a spirit first, there is a body in the heart of God. He wants us to migrate from our human element to our divine element, because we have lived as men for too long. This is why the world mistakes you to be a man. When they look at you, they say, we are all the same. We are not the same. When the people that don't know Christ look at you, they say, we are all the same. We are not the same. The things that happen to men should not happen to us. It is happening to us because we have deadened our divine side and we are functioning only in our human side. That's why if the people of the world are sick, you too are sick. That's why if they fail, you too have been failed. That's why if things happen to them, things happen to you as well. So God told me in a festival of spirits, the first thing he wants to achieve is to raise a people that don't function only from their human side, but they function from their divine side. The second thing God said will happen in a festival of spirits is what we call the fusion of realms. Because some of us here have been living only on earth. And because we have lived only on earth, we are ruled by time and the patterns of events that happen on earth. Jesus, in John chapter 3 verse 13, was walking in Nazareth. And he said, the Son of Man, which is in heaven. When did Nazareth become heaven? The reason is because when you are functioning in this order, you have the ability to live from two realms. And when you are living from two realms, no matter how hostile the earthly realm is, your sustenance is from another realm. That's why the Bible gave us a wisdom, which is one of the things that informed the reason we give. We don't give because we want to promote a church. We don't give because we want to increase the fortune of a church. He said, give a portion to seven. He said, give a portion to eight. He said, you know not the evil that will come upon the earth. What he's trying to tell you is that when you activate the protocol of giving, even if evil happens on earth, you will be exonerated. Because your habitat is not only earth. That means you have two habitats at the same time. And so no matter the evil that happens to earth, you can be spared. But giving is not the only challenge. In a spirit first, what happens is that men begin to live in two dimensions. And so when one dimension is not favorable, you know what to do to activate the second dimension. And you can be in a room, assassins will come, they will kill everybody, they won't see you. The reason is because you are in that room, but you are not in that room. The reason is because it looked as if you are in that room, but another dimension has been downloaded into that room. So that room is actually not that room. Because you have connected to another realm. He said, in a spirit festival, these technologies and the wisdom that activate them will be open to men so that they can see those secrets and begin to walk in them. And the third thing God says happens in a spirit festival is that spirits are permitted to begin to cohabit with men. What we are doing tonight is not a religious business. Spirits begin to literally walk with men. You look at somebody and you say, why are things working for him? Things are not working for him just because he's smart. If you see the number of smart people that are failing, you'll be shocked. The reason is because the world is designed to destroy and to fight against your prosperity. That's why you don't need to plant a grass in your house, it will grow. The world is designed on account of the fall to shut you down, not to prosper. And the way men prosper, the world notwithstanding, is when spirit beings begin to walk with them. Even Jesus needed spirits to walk with him. When he was tempted on the mountain, the moment the temptation was over, his human strength failed him. And the Bible said, angels came and strengthened him. That's the Son of God. But if the Son of God becomes a man, he will need spirit assistance. He will need spirit mobilization. He will need spirit reinforcement. Our reinforcement is not only natural. If all our reinforcement are natural, then we are weak. We are already defeated before we started. It will only take time to reveal it. when Jesus was about to go to Jerusalem, fear hit him. He said, the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. But while he went to pray, the Bible said Moses and Elijah, they came to him. Those are spirit of just men made perfect. So in a spirit festival, one of the many things that will happen to you is that spirits will begin to work with you. Some people will live here, they may not fall down, but as they go to do business, they will hear a whisper. Now this is not what you should do. This is not religion. This is how we get ahead in life. Some people are in a relationship, they are about to be married wrongly. A spirit will show up from the realm of God and say, no, that's not the person. Be patient. You know that spirit festival has been activated in your life. There are many people that God will give them strange instructions. Rise up and do this. They will do it. And suddenly, things will turn around. Not only for them, but for their family. It's because spirits are now working with them. You know the advantage of spirits? They were here before the earth was corrupted. The Bible said, when you created the foundations of the world, he said, the sons of the morning, the sons of God, he said, they sank into creation. So they were here when the foundation of the earth was corrupted. And if they were here, it means they saw your great-grandfather. They know the limitations of your family. They know the weaknesses of your bloodline. When Abraham loved fair women, Isaac must love fair women. Jacob must love fair women. If Abraham lies to Abimelech because of fear, when Isaac confronts Abimelech, Isaac will lie. Because there are weaknesses that flow in the bloodline. But what will give you an advantage is when the king takes your wife and in the night he goes to sleep and God shows up and says, return his wife to him. He said, that man is a prophet. Not because Abraham had an anointing, but because his spirit supported him. In the last day, men that walk with spirit must emerge. If not, the battle of the ages to come, he will lick us up. We will run from church. We will run into the cave looking for shelter. But our protection is not in the rock. Our protection is not in the barrack. Our protection is the army mobilized from heaven that support us. When the king of Syria came to arrest Elisha, Elisha laughed. Because that's a man in the midst of spirit festival. And when they came to arrest him, Gehazi was troubled. Elisha held his peace. Not because Elisha is a bold man. He said, why are you not troubled? He said, we are more on our side. We are they. They are spirit beings. We had more on our side. And when the guy wouldn't let him, he said, Lord, open his eyes. What he told him, what he was praying for that time is, let him also participate in this festival. Because you can be in the church, but you are not participating. You can be in the environment, you are not participating. So he told him, this man will die of high blood pressure. Open his eyes, let him see. The moment his eye opened, he said he saw chariots on fire, on us round about them. Immediately he knew that those who were coming to attack them were in trouble. When you enter spirit festival, when your enemies finish doing what they are doing and they show up, you look at them and you say, oh my God, if they knew, they would not have come. They are in trouble. They think you are in trouble, and you look at them, you start pitying them, because there is more on your side. And somebody will live here today and enter into the ecosystem of spirit beings. Oh, you don't know how men rule. Some people look at you, they think you are preaching a good message. It's not messages. Some time ago, I was carried to the mountains of God, and I saw the elders of heaven. One of them came to me, and as he was talking, the Bible was opening. And as the Bible was opening, thunder and lightning everywhere. I knew that something had changed. And immediately, I ceased from being an orator to be a man of utterance. The spirit of revival came because I was carried to the mountain of God. On another occasion, I laid on my bed praying, and suddenly I saw a horse that was taller than the building. And I was not even up to the hoof of the horse, but a force carried me and I sat on it. Immediately, speed. That same week, I was in the spirit and I saw an eagle bigger than a building, and I lapped on the wings, and the eagle was moving from nation to nation. I don't need to ask anybody for invitation. The spirit has gone ahead. Because they went to those nations in their due season, the doors open. You cannot use manipulation to go ahead in life. You need a spirit festival. And somebody will not live here until there is a festival of spirits in your life. We have reduced Christianity to a meeting of auditoriums. No, the witch is no better. They don't have meetings in buildings. When witches want to have meeting, they enter the spirit realm. Because the advantage is not in the natural. The advantage is in the spirit. The time has come where our gathering will no longer be about buildings. Men, we enter realms in the spirit. And when we are praying, we are not meeting by the keyboard. We are meeting at places in Zion. And when we come down, people will come with different things. Different things. That spirit festival. Somebody will not leave this meeting. A force will carry you from here. And while I'm here talking, you will see yourself on the mountain of God. Yeshua Hamashiach, Lion of Judah, Agunechemba. Yeshua Hamashiach. My God. Verakobe tekamanta kiata. Veragoa tetetalish. Varagano zanzaka. Perakwate. Eluia tatata valia sunata. Rakobe ashanda kabak. Rako petekenos. The time to pride in titles is over. He said, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. I don't care if you are called an apostle. How far can you travel? Where do you speak from? He said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. And I saw, there were travelers in the spirit. He said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. He said, in the 30th year, on the 4th month, on the 5th day, I was among the captives by the river Kabar. And I saw visions of God. And he said, I saw the cherubims. He said, they had faces, 4 faces. And said, they moved on either side. He said, their movement was like the lightning. He said, they carried a throne. And seated on the throne was the similitude of the God of heaven. When such a man shows up, he doesn't speak with the mouth of man. He thunders with the voice of God. That is what our world is looking for. They are not looking for religious men. Please sit down. Let's start again. And we meet Yeshua Hamashiach, Lion of Judah, Agunechemba. Yeshua Hamashiach, God, Eteketobe, Kalik Tamanda Zuzak, Parakados, Tei Kakakulia, Abiana Kunde Kakakwash, Talika Pados, Rakina Gabonde, Ediaka Palush Kanaya, Velalos Negatiato, Rakika Pona, the sons of thunder, I came to sound the trumpet over you. Merode, Sharak, Faria Toana, Gagada Turia Takapakina, Marone, Manta Perasco Grenadier, Shadakai. Some of you will go so high in the spirit, Abba will become too small. Because Abba is big because you are on the ground. When you ascend, you can see the city like your palm. And when you talk, you are not talking to men. You are talking to the city. And you can change things by the spirit. You can move things by the spirit. Not because your stature changed. You went higher in the spirit. Parakabone Zagata. I speak to you by the spirit. Somebody is being carried by the whirlwind. Because the time for ascension has come. Wherever you are, take that wind of the spirit. Ascend in the spirit. Maroveke danashka diato. Belegamanda zuzaya. Ragatoashtave. Religious Christianity, gullible Christianity, denominational Christianity has failed. We are looking for men that know the language of the spirit, the codes of the realm, the pathways of light. Those are the men the world is looking for. And you are one of them. That's why you came. Marofa Kadis. Taila Manda Zuza. Thank you, Father. Please sit. Kai. Oh my. Thank you, Father. I'm seeing a fire burning from the ground. And somebody's feet will be set on fire. And as that fire burns you from where you are sitting, that's how you will leap from where the enemy have planted you. And you will leap from one mountain to another, like a gazelle, from mountain tops to mountain top. Because there's a stirring, there's a protocol activated tonight by the Spirit of the living God. Everyone ordained for that movement of the Spirit, I summon you now. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Continue like this, I can't teach. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Peace is still. Let me try again. God bless you. And so in the Spirit Festival, the first thing God wants to do is a transition. That men may migrate from their human side to their divine side. The reason is because the battle of the age is not for mortals. The casualties of the battle of the age are men. The battle of the age is the battle of gods. In darkness, there are men evolving now. You know, the Bible spoke about some of the warriors of Og, the king of Bashan. It said they were beastly men. It said some of them were like lions. These guys were gods in their right. You know, the Bible spoke about Pharaoh. He was called the son of God. Because in darkness, there is an evolution. That men are growing in the spirit to gain the stature of God by reason of the demons and the spirits they walk with. In light, we must grow. This is why God's servant was saying, it's not a conference of bread and wine. The appetites of men are for bread and wine. But the men that will participate in the battle of the ages to come, they seek something that is eternal. They seek something that is divine. Because that's their true advantage when the realms enter into the war of the age. And so the reason God is tearing the hearts of men is because there must be a transition. Everyone living as a man, as a mortal, is already a casualty. He's not just aware of what is happening in the spirit. When the tides become clear, he will be lost. He said, darkness is upon the people. He said, but like the dawning of the morning, he said, an army shall rise. That means under the clock of darkness, men are being built up. Men are being trained. Men are beginning to defy their human tendencies. And they are seeking their divine side. Because there is a God element on their inside. They are searching to bring out that God element. Because they know that the advantage is not what they have in their account. The advantage is who they have become by the Spirit. They are human beings gathering in millions. And they think our number means anything. That's why a million of us gather and make declaration, nothing happens. Meanwhile, the things we are fighting for in a vigil is a herbalist. One herbalist touched some buttons and uttered it. It breaks my heart how backward we still are in light. Meanwhile, those in darkness are gaining mastery every day. When a witch doctor is dying, he doesn't hand over books to his children. He doesn't hand over money. He hands over oracles. Oracles. That person will do the same thing the witch doctor is doing. And even invent more. When they travel by the wind. When they talk dark mysteries. They may be talking, and while they are yet talking, they are invoking wickedness into eternity. But we do all the religious gathering, religious festival, nothing happens. It means we are not growing in light as much as those who are in darkness are growing. And so a spirit festival is an opportunity for you to ascend. You must become tired of your human side. You must become tired of your human tendencies. And so God gave me 5 codes that I want to share with you tonight. A man who is transiting is not a man with titles. A man who is transiting is a man who begins to manifest the spirit. The sign that you have transited, brothers and sisters, hear this. I'm laying this foundation so that when I start giving you the codes that the Holy Ghost gave me, you will not mistake those codes to be the result. A man who is transiting, the proof that he has transited is the fact that he can repeatedly manifest the spirit. It's not fluke. It's something that he does, and he has the capacity to repeat. When you are not able to manifest divinity, you have not transited. You can pray, you have not transited. You can quote scriptures, you have not transited. When you transit, the proof that you have transited is that your human tendencies and propensities are suspended while your divine propensities are on the stage for manifestation. And you see, when we say manifesting divinity, we are not saying they will begin to see the face of Jesus on you. When a man begins to manifest divinity, it means he is in possession of spiritual things. He is in possession of spiritual things. Spiritual things are possessed of that man. And Paul gave us some instances in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 1. He said, I, Paul, he said, when I came unto you, I did not come with excellency of speech, declaring unto you the testimonies of God. Because men in his era, they bragged by eloquence. They bragged by how much they could speak poetically and audaciously. He said, but when I came, I did not come with excellency of speech, declaring unto you the testimonies of God. He said, I choose to know nothing among you save Christ and him crucified. He said, I was with you in fear and in weakness, trembling among you. But he went further. The reason he did that, he showed us in verse 4. He said, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of human wisdom. He said, they were what? The demonstration of the spirit and power. That means one divine thing that Paul had and it could manifest at will was the power of God. He said, my speech was not enticing words. He said, they were demonstration of spirit and power. So Paul could manifest power. And that power is not just, is not a charade. In Acts 19 verse 11, he said, handkerchiefs and aprons were taken from the body of Paul. They were casting out demons. Handkerchiefs. He said, they were healing the sick. So one divine thing Paul had that made it a sign and a proof that Paul manifested God was the fact that power gave itself at me when Paul was functioning. If he was talking, power was at work. If you took his shirt, there was power. If Paul used the banking, it's not sweat you find on it. They are deposits of power. And if you take it to the demonic realm, they will attest to it. Power so much that when the sons of Sceva came to mimic what they were doing, the demons came and said, Jesus, we know. They didn't stop there. Because it's not only Jesus that is known in the demonic realm. Everybody who can manifest God, the demons know him. He said, Jesus, we know. He said, Paul, we also know. Who are you? I know you speak the same language they speak. You dress the same way they dress. But they have something you don't have. They have authority in our realm. How come you have the audacity to show up and talk in this way? Don't you know this is a league of gods? Don't you know this is a realm of men that can that manifest deity? Only those who have the capacity to manifest deity talk in this way. Who told you can talk here? You can deceive men, not in the league of gods. Because here, when we check you out, we are finding, what are the articles of your spirit? Is there power as an ingredient there? Paul said, I did not come with the dazzling word of human wisdom. He said, I came with the demonstration of spirit and power. And if you go further in that scripture, 1 Corinthians 2 from verse 5, he began to go further to show us another spiritual thing that he had. He said, that your faith will not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Verse 6. How be it we speak wisdom among them that are perfect? He said, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that cometh to nothing. The wisdom of this world, they have vetoed it in the realm of God already. They know that in the realm of true reality, the wisdom of this world fails. Meanwhile, you have been a Christian for 30 years. All you have is what you learned when you were doing apprenticeship for slippers business. All you learned was what you learned when you were studying physics and chemistry in the university. And when you show up, you say, I'm a doctor of medicine. When the spirit look at you are too gullible for them to talk to you. They will send a witch, an apprentice, and say, go and talk to that professor. And an apprentice witch will come to do IT with your family. And you see a professor traveling home with the knowledge of neuroscience, and the witch will stand on the road and do like this and throw a block, hit the car, cast on us all. You hear that everybody died, and you check, he's a knight. He has been a knight for 20 years, but he doesn't have spiritual reality. All he has is neuroscience. All he has is physics. All he has is knowledge of business. Paul said that kind of wisdom, it comes to nothing. And he went to verse 7 and he showed us the kind of wisdom he had, which was another spiritual thing that he carried. He said, but we speak wisdom among them. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained for our glory. So the kind of wisdom we speak is, number one, the wisdom of God. And number two, he said that wisdom was not ordained to show that we are wise. He said that wisdom was ordained for our glory. That means when you have that type of wisdom, your life will be glorified. So power, first of all, gave him authority in the demonic realm. Number two, wisdom glorified his life. And you know, this God kind of wisdom is a creative wisdom. When God showed up, he put up that wisdom in display in Genesis chapter 1. He said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He said, the earth was void. Darkness was walking up, was upon the face of the deep. And he said, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, light appear. Now, that was a technology God introduced to us. That when the Spirit of God is moving and you are talking, creation takes place. It's a code in heaven. That means when a poor wants to do vehicle business, he doesn't just enter because he graduated as an apprentice. When he wants to do vehicle business, he will activate the movement of the Spirit. And when the Spirit of God begins to move, every vehicle he wants to see, he speaks them into being before he goes into the studio. And when that kind of vehicle is created, there's nothing you can do to stop it. That kind of vehicle becomes a product of divine intelligence. When Paul wants to start a family, he doesn't just jump on a lady and say, I love her. But when you see the people that walk with the wisdom that come to know, they are looking at the lady. They are seeing her complexion. They are seeing her height. They are seeing her shape. And when they look at all of the physical parameters, they jump and hug the person, not a Paul. If Paul were to marry, he would have checked out in the spirit. And all the attributes of the woman that can align with his destiny, he will find it in the spirit. And when Paul is looking for a wife, he's not looking for a woman. He's looking for all of the parameters that they showed him in the spirit. Humility, kindness, large-heartedness. And when he finds a woman that has those qualities, it doesn't matter if she's fair or dark. It doesn't matter if she's tall or short, because he's not looking for a height. He's not looking for a complexion. By wisdom, he has crystallized the shape of that woman in the spirit. That's the wisdom of God. That when the waters are stirred, the words of God begins to create. And Paul said, I am in possession of this wisdom. And so everything Paul does is at the realm of God. It's like concerning virgins. I have no commandment from the Lord. He said, as one who has been helped and who has been found to be trustworthy, I speak on this matter. And the words of Paul became scriptures. Because he had grown in wisdom to that level. That means anything Paul does, we abide forever. Because everything the wisdom of God creates defies time. That's why till today, you and I are reading the writings of Paul and we can't exhaust it. Because it came from the wisdom from above. Those are the things Paul handled. So a man like Paul truly has transited. And in 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1, he said, be a follower of me as I am a follower of Christ. I have transited. When you see me, you have seen Christ. In case nobody told you about Jesus, if you meet Paul, it's as good as you have met Christ. I have transited. When I talk at the frequency of Christ. When I think at the frequency of Christ, because I'm in possession of divine wisdom. Did you not read in 1 Corinthians 2:16? It says we have the mind of Christ, so we judge all things. Men possess spiritual things. And on the strength of those things they possessed, they became gods in their generation. The Bible said Moses was troubled concerning Israel, but all Moses had was a rod. That rod could do nothing. But when Moses did some of the things I will show you here, a point came. The Bible said Moses took his wife and his children and the rod of God. A wood had become the rod of God. And when he returned to the same Egypt he ran from, with that rod, he brought down a whole civilization. He had something from God. You have not come to a festival of spirit until there's a transition. Something divine must come alive in your spirit. Something divine must be handled. In 1 John chapter 2 verse 1, he said that which was from the beginning. 1 John chapter 1 verse 1, which we have heard, which we have seen, which we have looked upon, and we have handled. So once upon a time, they too were humans. Once upon a time, they too were handicapped. Once upon a time, all they had was their beauty, was their human knowledge. All they had were their human connection. But they heard that there is something in God that men carry. And so he said, they sought after those things, and they saw it. And they looked at it and they didn't stop until they handled it. The moment they handled it, they became divine. At some point, they addressed John and they called him John the Divine. They tried to kill him. They dragged him on the street. He would not die. They threw him into boiling oil. He would not die. And when they couldn't kill him, they cast him to an island to die in desolation. But while he was in that island, he said, I was in the spirit of the Lord's day. You can't kill us. We are becoming destructible. I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. And the island of death, because the word Patmos means the land of death. But while he was in the land of death, he understood too much of God. He turned that place to heaven. And from the island of death, he said a door opened in heaven. And the voice said, come up hither. And from the island of death, he began to walk in the throne room of God. From the island of death, he came back with letters for churches. And he said, whoever reads this is blessed. He said to the church in Ephesus, how can a man who is sentenced to death can come back with a message for a generation? He possessed the wisdom of God. That wisdom in the life of John made him invincible. You couldn't kill him. If you shoot John, he won't die. Arrest John. Drag him on the street. He will not die. Give him poison. He will not die. Because he has found something in God. This is why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 from verse 7, he said to ask and receive. You know what you ask? You ask for what already exists. That means I have heard that Moses had power enough to shut down a nation. I can ask for that. I have heard that Joshua spoke to the sun and the sun stood still. I can ask for power over nature. I have heard that David, by playing his tapestry, he could cast out demons. So I can ask that when I'm singing, demons will be cast out. I have heard that Paul was so wise that when Paul spoke, his words were scripture. I can ask for that level of wisdom. But there is a realm beyond asking. That means every generation that comes after has the right to receive and to know more than the preceding generation had. Because he said, don't only ask, he says seek. When he says seek, seek is superior to asking. You ask for things that are known, but when you seek for things that are unknown. That means the virgin dimensions of God are open for humanity. So thank God for what Moses saw. Thank God for what Elijah saw. Thank God for what Paul saw. But there are dimensions beyond that. Did you not read in the Bible? Jesus laid hands on the sick, they recovered. Peter did not lay hands. He laid shadow. Because there is a realm beyond what is known. And as you continue to seek, you will find things that nobody has found. And a point will come. I read about Maron Branham. That Maron Branham could create squirrels. Squirrels. He will blow and dust will become squirrel. He entered a creative dimension of the prophetic because he sought it. There was no prophet before Maron Branham that could do that. But he sought it in the spirit. These are the things that men who want to live in the festival of spirit crave for. I don't seek money. Money is too small to get my time. It's a byproduct. When I get wisdom, I get money. When I get power, I get money. But if I pursue money, money can be taken away from me. And if money is taken away, I'm finished. But when I have wisdom, take me to a desert. He said, until the spirit be poured upon us from on high. He said, the wilderness can become a fruitful field. A fruitful field can become a forest. Men who pursue what men give are not wise. In a spirit festival, we are seeking our divine side. What is the divine element locked here? There is a wisdom somebody needs to permanently shut down sickness in the world. And the whole world will come looking for him. When we are praying, it's not a religious exercise. When children are praying, they are bragging that they are speaking capital letter tongues. When children are praying, they are doing posture. When men pray, they seek things that are in the heavens. When men pray, they seek things that mortals have never seen. Because those things become their true advantage. Most people came for this meeting today because they are hoping to receive an impartation that will make them prosper. For how long can you keep such impartation? For how long? If a wisdom hits you here now, you can sit in a bar and the whole world will come looking for you. If a power comes on your life now, the whole world will seek you from Abba. It will become difficult for you to spend 1 week here. Men will call for you to the biggest places in the world. And they will be so honored that you came. This is what Spirit Festival is about. Because every one of you here has a divine side. For Moses, it was a staff that defeated the nation. For David, it was a psalm. A psalm that could download heaven. For Paul, it was a wisdom to look into the oracles of God. What is yours? This is why Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 16, he said, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. He said, for whoever is in Christ Jesus, verse 17, is a new creature. He said, all things are passed away. He said, behold, all things have become new. Those new things are your divine dimensions. But have you beheld it? Have you beheld it? We have a world that is so distracted. And because we are so empty on our inside, we are looking for things to make for our vulnerability. We are looking for things to make for our porosity in the spirit. God gave me 7 codes for someone who is tired of being a man. I know you may be saying, well, I'm not God. I'm not talking to prophets. I'm not talking to apostles. I'm not talking to pastors. I'm not talking to teachers. I'm not talking to evangelists. I'm talking to believers. Some of you, what you need is to conquer the academia. Some of you, what you need is to conquer the corridor of government. Some of you, what you need is to conquer the economic front. But human connection will never be enough. So there's a wisdom you need to tap into. So when we are talking transition, we are not talking about carrying a microphone to preach. We are talking about going into all the world and discipling all nations. What you disciple the nation with is not Matthew chapter 3 verse 14. It's not John chapter 3 verse 16. What you disciple the nation with is what you have caught. And so if you have caught a wisdom, disciple the nation after that order. If you have caught a power, disciple the nation after that order. Because God is raising an assembly. This is why we are called the ecclesia. It means we are a legislative body. So those who represent power from your spiritual tribe, when they come into the quorum, they come with power. Those who represent wisdom from a spiritual tribe, when they come into the quorum, they come with power. Discipling all the nations is not for us to read the book of one teacher and all of us are teaching everything. That is foundational. But when we enter through discipleship, you are actually taught or instructed to mentor people after what you have caught in God. And so when you are done mentoring people, some will see, some will hear, some will carry wisdom, some will know sounds. And when we gather together, we will not be counting numbers. The attendance today was 300. That's wrong count. Because when we gather in the ecclesia, we don't count number, we count dimensions. How many dimensions came for the meeting? Because every dimension represents a spiritual quorum. And that is the ordinance for legislation. When we gather in the ecclesia, we are counting the graces that were represented. But that cannot happen except as men begin to catch their dimensions. When you come to House on the Rock, you know that excellence dwells here. Because somebody caught it. And it became a signature of a tribe. This is what the ecclesia is about. But you must find your divine dimension. If you don't find it, hear this, sir. You may write a book, but you left nothing for your world. Because that book you wrote, you echoed somebody else's voice. If you don't find it, you may preach messages, but you left nothing for your world. Because that message you preach, you echoed somebody's voice. But when you find the virgin dimension and you bring it, it's your own. And when you leave it, it becomes your legacy to your generation. Many people are in politics, they are not adding anything. Many people are in ministry, they are not adding anything. Many people are in business, they are not adding anything. They are just echoing what somebody caught in 1854. And what we are teaching today as new creation is the revelation of E.W. Kenyon. What we are teaching today as the prophetic is the revelation of Marom Branham. And since these guys caught this, nobody has gone further. That's why today, every time we preach new creation, it's about healing. But there is an order of new creation that is a syllable superior to healing. It's bilocation. There is an order of the new creation that is superior to healing. It's called immortality. But nobody has been able to improve on the syllable that E.W. Kenyon brought. So everybody teaching new creation, when they say everything in heaven and on earth, they end with healing. But when a dimension is caught, the next person that will go beyond where E.W. Kenyon went, he will come back with healing. When he teaches new creation, men will stand up and walk through the wall. Because Jesus, who is the first of the new creation, when he entered the room, he entered through the wall. This is where the church of Christ is going to. And when the rapture comes, we would have understood new creation. Because what will happen is that men will be clothed with their heavenly bodies. Because in the rapture, what happens is that we wear our heavenly tabernacle and we move. Men are not hungry. We are satisfied with podiums. We are satisfied with excellence. We are satisfied with talking. Meanwhile, 99% of what we are doing are echoes. This is why Christianity is being disadvantaged. Because the revelation we are working with was the revelation they caught in 1840, which was enough to defeat their world. Now we are in a world where darkness have advanced, but light has not advanced. In the days of UW Kenyon, their worst crisis was sickness. So they needed a light that contended with sickness. You are in a generation of bomb blasts. You are teaching new creation. And you think new creation is just about healing the sick. What if a terrorist enters your building? The new creation we must teach now is a new creation that our body refuses to detonate. And so when they enter the church and the bomb blasts, they will be the only person who will be blasted. Everybody will be intact because your cells can hear you. And with that vibration, you tell your cells, be intact. And none of your cells will be exploded. You will look at the wall of your building and tell the wall of the building, remain intact. And you will allow that bomb to explode because that person is about to be judged. If you don't want it and you want to convert that person, you will tell the bomb, don't detonate. He will remove all the buttons, it will remain there. That is new creation. And when we master it, if bomb wants to detonate, you can tell your church, let's go to the other side. And the whole church and the whole members, we move from the location to another location. The bomb blast will stand alone. You can travel not alone, but with your congregation, because they have understood it. All of these are available in God. But men are not seeking transition. We are comfortable with what we have, and we are using it, merchandising it, and living for flesh. A generation will rise and be hungry and say, thank God for what the Father has found. It's our own time to fight something else. Paul said, according as it is written, they believe and have spoken. We, having the same spirit of faith, we believe and therefore we speak. Are you ready for transition? Don't be a businessman because you're in a bar. It means you have not seen light. Some of you are destined to be businessmen, but some of you are supposed to be inventors. That you are in a bar and there are materials everywhere does not mean everybody should become a clothes seller. If everybody is a clothes seller, it means nobody is tapping into light. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. When you go to Benue, 90% of the Christians are civil servants. Because that's what's predominant. When you come to the East, 90% of the Christians are businessmen. Because that's what's predominant. It means we are not journeying. We are not journeying. Because if we are journeying, every day people will be stepping into new things. Because they would have caught something in God. A generation of discoverers. A generation of seekers. A generation of men who will invent things because of the dimension of God they have is about to rise. And you are a part of that generation. You know, we are in a time when if you say you are a Christian, one of three things will happen to you. Number one, your life is endangered. If you say you are a Christian today, be careful where you are saying it. There are many places today, if you dare say you are a Christian, you are endangered. That's why you can't be ordinary. It's either because you have caught something in God that makes you literally invincible, or you have caught something in God that makes you too relevant for them to want to hurt you. So they have no choice, they leave you. If you say you are a Christian today, if you are not endangered, you are fake. The world looks at you as a nuisance. All these fake religious people talking and talking and talking, doing nothing. If you say you are a Christian today, you are not endangered, or you are not caught fake, then you are a victim of marginalization. Because they know you have no support. You say so much about a God that you can't prove. You talk so bogusly about a power you can't demonstrate. You talk so big about a wisdom they can't see. So it's either you are endangered, or you are considered fake, or you become an object of marginalization. But we will rewrite that order. Because when we show up and we say we are Christians, they will fear us. Because they know that if they do anything, even nature is subject to us. We can speak and they will be endangered. Or when when we show up and we say we are Christians, they will be careful. Because if they fight us, they may just discover that the whole oil in that city, we are producing it. And if we withdraw, the whole city will be in trouble. Meanwhile, these are the things that should come out from church. But church has become parasite. Today, Putin will come up and threaten the whole Europe. I say, be careful. Be careful. If I withdraw Russia from the economy, you are in trouble. They say they want to sanction him. They can't. Because they supply 20% of the world's natural gas. How do you sanction them? Our airlines are about to shut down now. Because something is happening in Russia. Far away in Africa, domestic airlines are about to shut down because something is happening in Russia. The flow of oil, the flow of natural gas is being hijacked. Things are beginning to go wrong. Travel around the world today, things have been stiff and stiffened because one man is shaking the whole world. When will the Christian rise with so much stature? He's too relevant to be ignored. So if you don't have supernatural power, you need supernatural wisdom that makes you too relevant to be ignored. They threaten you, they know they are threatening the well-being of the state. That's Christianity. Because you have caught a wisdom. And that wisdom has children that are proven by what they are. But it's a journey. And so for this transition to take place, where you are in possession of spiritual things and able to manifest, the first thing that must happen to you is that you must become spiritually minded. You know, the devil is smart. You will never see the devil and his agents dressed funny on the street, chanting incantation and doing things. They don't need drama. The devil knows how to take advantage of the spiritual realm. So when he wants to rule a civilization, all he needs to do is to manipulate their mindset. You buy razor blades, there's a naked woman. You buy matches, there's a naked woman. You buy handkerchief, there's a naked woman. What is he trying to do? Is to make you carnally minded. Because he knows that if you are carnally minded, you can never tap into the economy of the spirit. And the reason many Christians are not breaking into realms in God is not because they are not part of church. It's not because they are not active in departments. Some are very, very active in departments, but they are as carnally minded as they are active in the department. So they are head of choir, they are head of protocol, they are head of prayer unit. But all of that is religious. Because the moment they step out, their mind is a garbage of the world system. And the Bible said clearly in Romans chapter 8 from verse 5 and verse 6, he told us the danger. He said, for they that are after the flesh, they mind the things of the flesh. So if you are conscious of fleshly things, no matter the capital letter tongues you are speaking, the Bible has already vetoed your direction. They say you are of the flesh. They that are after the flesh, they mind the things of the flesh. So you can pray in tongues, Igbo, Igbo, Igbo. But the moment you go out, everything about you is conscious of the world system. He said, with that tongue, you are after the flesh. And he went to verse 6 and he showed you the danger of being after the flesh. He said, to be carnally minded is death. He said, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. What does he mean by death? Death does not mean you will fall down and die. But death means you will be separated from God. That means because you are carnally minded, even though you are speaking in tongues, you can't enter the wisdom of God. You are carnally minded, even though you are fasting, you can't enter the power of God. Praying in tongues, known as a prayer warrior, but no wisdom. Bankrupt of power. We finish praying that tongue for 10 hours. The sick go sick. The blind go blind. The deaf go deaf. And because we know that we are powerless, we now make a show of prayer. I'm call ourselves names after different order of prayer. The goal of prayer is not prayer. The goal of prayer is what prayer produces. He said, as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. There's a prayer movement starting in Nigeria, but it's already corrupt. Because the prayer has become the end. Whereas, when prayer is prayed, prayer is a means to an end. When prayer becomes an end, know that pride has entered. When prayer becomes an end, know that arrogance has entered. When prayer becomes an end, know that self has entered. Because people are beginning to glorify themselves. Did you not read about the Pharisees? He said they take pride in long prayers. They stand by street corners and pray that men will see their glory. He said they have their reward. But all of that is carnal mindedness. When a man is carnally minded, the Bible calls it death. That means every activity he's doing is all in the regions of death. Prayer, inclusive. Fasting, inclusive. Quoting scriptures, inclusive. When you are carnally minded, you can quote 50 scriptures. He says you are in the realm of death. Why? Because you are separated. The reason is because carnal mindedness blinds you. It blinds you from the things of God. It makes you an enemy of God. The love of God is removed from your heart. In 1 John chapter 2 verse 15, the Bible tells us, he said, love not the world. That's carnal mindedness. Neither the things that are in the world. He said, if a man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. He didn't say the love of the Father will be taken. He said the love of the Father is not in him. So that prayer he's praying, he doesn't love God. He's trying to make a show of prayer. That fasting he's fasting, he doesn't love God. He wants to come and preach later that he has fasted for 1 year. It's all for his pride. Because he said, if you love the love of the Father is not in you. He said, what is in the world? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. That's carnal mindedness. In Ephesians chapter 4 verse 18, he went further to let us know the danger of carnal mindedness. I'm showing you why men are not transiting. They are praying, but Facebook is their God. Likes is their priority. So while they are praying here, it's nothing about the prayer. All the gesticulation is so that they will post it and monitor likes. So all of that is a means of purchasing like. It's carnal mindedness. The person runs up, he's singing. You think she's singing, she's not singing. It's the human hair she wants you to see. And if that human hair doesn't come, she will never be happy with the worship. The worship is not the priority. It's the human hair, the gown, and the high heel. And then you look at such people, you say, wow, they are worshiping God. They are not worshiping God. They are just idolizing themselves. That's all they are doing. And that's why they are yet doing that. Instead of the Spirit of God flowing, it's lost and it's flowing. It's called carnal mindedness. Doing the most spiritual thing yet in the flesh. And see the danger. He said, these ones, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts. The carnal mindedness blinds their heart. And it does not only blind their heart, they are now alienated from the resources of the Spirit. Wisdom, part of it. Power, part of it. Glory, part of it. That's why in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 3 and 4, he says, if our gospel be healed, it is healed to them that are lost, whom the God of this world have blinded their hearts, else they should have received the glorious gospel of Christ, which is the image of the invisible God. A man who wants to transit will fight against carnal mindedness. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 14, he said, the natural man, he said, he receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. He said, neither can he know them. He can't, even if he wants to. Most of us who are carnally minded today, we say, we want to understand the word of God. Why are we not understanding? Every day they are thronging you online. How can we catch the fire of God? How can we pray in tongues? How can we see in the Spirit? You can't. He said to the natural man, knoweth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them. So no matter how much he desires it, he can't know them. Say, Big Brother Niger today, Christians will fold their legs and they are watching Big Brother Niger for 3 months. And they come online, they are arguing. They are arguing. And every Sunday, they are voting. Using their credit, they are voting. Is it Muslims that watch Big Brother Niger? Is it not us? And then when they finish pursuing the things of flesh, they now come back to church. You are praying. They are doing like this. You are playing. What you are watching there, is it edifying you? Is it edifying your spirit? Is it the gospel that is being shared? It's carnal mindedness. Pornography legalized on a national scale. And you see Christians fighting and endorsing it. How can such a generation see the glory of God? How can such a generation see the power of God? And then you come to church, you are thinking, you say you have a golden voice. Who told you God recruits worshippers because of their voice? Have you heard an angel sing before? Do you know the equipment they use? Some of the harps they use in heaven have 34 strings. There are notes that earth can't trap. Do you know the pitch that they hit in the spirit? You think you are. Men may be moved by your funny voice, but God is not moved by the voice. He's moved by the witness that come out of your spirit. Because that's the glory you leave to him. Some people today, their greatest models are naked women who are apostles of secularism or apostles of demons. Those are the people that inspire their dressing, inspire their language, inspire their attitude, and they come to church and add prayer to carnal mindedness. Add one or two scriptures to carnal mindedness, and they think they can touch spiritual things. That's why you can never transit. The first journey into the glory, the first journey into manifesting the spirit, which is a sign that you have participated in the spirit festival, is that you will destroy carnal mindedness. And for some of you, where to start from is to burn the bridges. The apps you visit, the sites you visit, the programs you watch, you delete them. You delete them. That's how it starts. I'm telling you, many people genuinely see God. They don't know why they can't go forward. This is why. Because carnal mindedness blinds you from spiritual things. When you cut those things off, then you begin to set your affection. Listen, it's not everything God will do for you. Forget this irresponsible Christianity of thinking God will come to do everything. You are the one to set your affection on the things from above. In Colossians chapter 3 from verse 1 to 3, it said, if you claim that you are dead in Christ, it said, if ye then be risen with Christ, it said, seek those things which are above, where Christ seated on the right hand of God. I know it by experience. There are some songs, I hear them, I don't like them. But I play them again. I play them again. When I play them like 5 times, even when I'm away, the song is not playing in my heart. Why? Because I've set my affection. I didn't like the song the first time I heard it, but I kept playing it. As I play it and play, those days I didn't enjoy Eben's song, but the lyrics were powerful, and so I started playing it over and over. And the point came, even when I'm traveling, the songs are playing in my heart, because as I set my mind on it, because of the lyrics, the melody too, I started loving it. And there was a season of my life only Eben's song makes sense. There are many of you here, you don't like scriptures, you set your affection. You start hearing it, you start reading it. After a while, you'll be washing your clothes, and suddenly one of the verses that you saw will come into your spirit. And as that verse enters your spirit, the Holy Ghost starts talking. That's the journey into transition. Most of you here, You are used to rap music. As you delete the rap music, you replace it with messages. And as you start hearing the message, it won't make sense. After 1 week, after 2 weeks, the third week, you will discover that before your mind connects with it, your spirit has connected with it. And you will be sleeping and you will be hearing those messages. And those messages will take you into an encounter. It's called setting your affection on the things above. The cure to carnal mindedness is, number one, to burn the bridge, and number two, set your affection on the things above. Many believers have set their affection on worldly things. That's why they are carnally minded. That's why they are carnally minded. Let a worldly musician release a song today. In 12 hours, it has 30 million views. Go and check. It's Christians that are giving all the comments, because that's where they have set their affection. If you begin to set your affections on the things of the Spirit, you will reprogram your mind to begin to love the things of the Spirit. Because this mind, you can reprogram it. That's the first journey to transition. And if these things don't happen to you, you don't know where the world is going. I don't threaten people with messages anymore. But what is coming, if you know it, you will know that time is short. Time is short. The wickedness that is coming, the darkness. The Bible said, gross darkness shall be upon the people. He said, but for you, he said, arise. He didn't say, God will lift you up. He said, you arise. Then you will shine. Many are not rising up. They are lying down there waiting for God to lift them. When the darkness comes, even the pastor can't help you. Because everybody will stand for himself. Carnal mindedness is what has blinded many of us from spiritual things. We pursue impartation every day. If a new man of God is coming, people line up. They want to cut his body and take the body home. He says, set your affection on the things above. Some of you will need to sanitize your phones. You will delete everything from your phone and you will replace those things with songs of the Spirit, with messages of God. Some of you will need to delete apps from your phone and replace them. You will go and delete Facebook for a season, because you are not yet mature to use Facebook spiritually. And you will replace it with audio Bible. Every time you carry your phone and you want to go on Facebook, you will remember that Facebook is deleted and you start playing audio Bible. It will pain you. You will miss the Facebook. But after a while, it will become natural. The next time the Holy Ghost tells you to reinstall Facebook, it will become an avenue of seeking the things of God. The second code for journey or transiting is to be baptized in the Spirit. Nobody journeys with the Spirit of God without a baptism. Jesus finished instructing them the way I've instructed you like this for 3.5 years. But Jesus told them, Luke 24:49, he said, tarry until you are endued with power from on high. Tarry until you are endued with power. Without baptism, you can never be in possession of spiritual things. Baptism is to be immersed in the Spirit. And when you are immersed, you come out with it. The disciples knew it. So after they received that baptism, in Acts 2 verse 1, they said, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were together in one accord. Suddenly they heard a sound as of a rushing mighty wind, and the place where they were was filled. And he said, they were cloven tongues as of fire. After that baptism, life came at them hard. In Acts chapter 4, he said, the Sanhedrin arrested them, flogged them, threatened them never to preach in the name of Jesus. And he said, they returned to their own company. They knew that a rebooter will not be to confront them with worms. That means the power they have is not enough. The wisdom they have is not enough. The glory they have is not enough. And the Bible said they went to their own company. They lifted their voices and they prayed. They were seeking another baptism. Because we constantly have immersions. Immersions. Continuous immersions to be able to conquer in life. Transition is a product of immersions. The first boldness they received and went out, they went out to preach in the market. After they flogged them, they discovered that boldness was not enough. They needed a higher layer of boldness. And in Acts 4:31, the Bible said, when they were done praying, it said the place where they were was shaken, and they were baptized again with the Holy Spirit. And this time, the baptism came with another layer. The first baptism they received came with utterance. Peter preached, 3,000 were saved. Utterance is no longer enough, because when you meet the Sanhedrin, they are not moved by utterance. When you are done talking, they will lie you down, get a koboko and flog you thoroughly and tell you never to preach. So you will need another baptism to bring another reality. And this time, the baptism that came did not come with utterance. In verse 33, the Bible said, with great power, he gave them witness of the resurrection of Jesus. Great grace was upon them. When they stepped out this time, they didn't go out with words. This time when they went out, cripples began to walk. When they went out, the dead came back to life. When they went out, diverse signs and wonders began to take place. And in Acts 6:7, the Bible said, a great company of the priests became obedient to be faith. Because the priest may not be moved with utterance, but when the priest see the dead come back to life, they will ask you at night and say, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do the things that thou doest except God be with him. When you talk, the priest will know it's a gift. But when you raise the dead, even if he can't come in the afternoon, he will come in the night. And he didn't say, I know. He said, we know, because we have deliberated you. You need another layer. I know you have one layer. But if transition needs to take place, you need another baptism for another layer. Did you not read about Jesus? Before he went to Jerusalem, he needed a new baptism. The Bible said, when he prayed, Matthew 17:2 and 3, it said the fashion of his countenance was altered. His raiment began to glisten. And when that episode ended, he said a cloud came down from heaven and covered him. And the voice came, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. That was the same thing that happened at the first baptism. But this time around, another layer was added. Hear ye him. Hear ye him didn't come at the first baptism. This is why men fought him. Now, hear ye him has added. Every time there is a baptism, there is a transition into more of God. I know you preach good messages, men clap. After a while, you migrated to preaching and the heart of men are caught. If you stop there, the Islamic nation can't open to you because they are not looking for preachers. You will need another baptism that raised men from witch years. When you raise men from witch years, even Afghanistan will say, come and preach. I know apostles and evangelists that preach in Afghanistan in stadia, not in a hidden room. Because when you come, thousands of people are rising from witch years. That's not a preacher. That's a witness. It takes baptism. I know now you are selling recharge card. You are selling slippers. You are selling electronics. If another baptism doesn't come, you will remain a retailer. But when the second baptism comes, you will know how to do a cell phone. When the third baptism comes, you will know how to produce a car. And when they look at you, you can tell them your story. First of all, I needed somebody to help me. And then I became a seller. I became an inventor. And today, I'm the owner of a company. That's when you can advance kingdom. When you speak at that level, the government will hear you. Men who transit are men of baptisms. When baptisms don't come, you will never transit. While you need to set your affection on the things above, in order to deal with carnal mindedness, for you to receive baptism, you must learn to grow in the spirit. Baptism, this kind of baptism, is a product of groaning in the spirit. The first transition is a function of setting your affection. The second transition is a product of groaning. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1 and 2, Paul said, we have a tabernacle in heaven. That means our celestial possibility is in heaven. He said, for this cause we groan night and day that we might be clothed. This is why in Acts 4:31, when they prayed, the place was shaking. They were baptized again. If you cannot groan in the spirit, you will carry your infirmity for a lifetime. Because we know not what we should pray for as we ought to. But the spirit helped our infirmities with groanings that cannot be uttered. Every time we groan, there is a baptism. The ability of the spirit is superimposed on our inside. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. I've just mentioned two, time is gone. Ha. Meanwhile, it's on number 4 that I wanted to start ascending. Because number 3 is to yield to the Holy Ghost. Men who transit constantly, they are yielded men. Did you read about Hosea? The Holy Ghost told him, go and marry a prostitute called Gomer. But for him to attain to a level where he can address Israel, that was the demand. The code for the third layer of transition is yieldedness. Because as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are not the children of God. They are the sons of God. And it is sons that can bear the responsibility of the Father. In Mark 1:12, he said the Holy Ghost drove him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. He was not driven to be celebrated. He was driven to be tempted, but he was a prisoner. When you want to transit, you must make yourself not a child of God, not a son of God, but a prisoner of God. So much so that whatsoever he says, you lose an opinion in the matter. You lose a position in the matter. Everything he says is all you do. I'm telling you how men are able to handle glory, and they handle it casually. Any day, any time they can replicate it. It's not fluke. It's not caricature. They are yielded. Their yieldedness have brought them to a place where if the moment they see the dead, they know he will rise. If they see a cripple, they know he will rise. If they sleep, they know a wisdom must come. Because this time around, they no longer belong to themselves. They have come to know experientially that they are bought with a price. This is where many people stop their journey with God. This is where many people become religious. Because at this level, you grow by instructions. The Holy Ghost tells you to do things, and many times, people don't want to do it. So they dodge the Holy Spirit. And the more they dodge it, they remain on one mountain. They never go anywhere. And if they don't travel from there for a long time, they become fake. You know why? Because of how fast God took them. People now assume that they can do some things. And so they will start putting demand, thinking that they have transited. And now, because they have not transited, they will want to meet up with the expectation of people. So they start faking things. This is the burden of men that God promotes. You see somebody, you heard him 2 years ago, and when he spoke, his voice was like thunder. And now you are meeting him 3 years later. And in your mind, you say, if I saw this 3 years ago, by now he should be doing this. And so when he's coming, you honor him at the new level you expect. You present challenges to him at the new level you expect. But the man stopped transiting 3 years ago. And so when you honor him like that and bring challenges like that, he can't meet it anymore. He begins to cut corners. He begins to do drama. He begins to do show. And after a while, he becomes fake. There used to be a time when I traveled for meetings. When they invite me, I will go and pay for 2 seats. Siana bus, Siana vehicles. And when you are traveling, the windows are not covered. If it rains, it will come on you there. The rain will deal with you. You will still go to that meeting and preach like a revivalist. A point came, the honor level increased. The authority level increased. I discovered when I come for meeting and I talk, people are healed on their own accord. Growth leave people. Things begin to happen. When I talk, people see me at another level. when the honor increased, they invite me, they now book a flight for me. And then I started flying. After a while, they started bringing me on business class. If I remain where I used to be, when I was traveling in Siena, if they pay for business class and I show up, I'm in trouble. Because the honor they have shown you, you must manifest according to that honor. And so when you go back, you better respect the Holy Spirit. Because if he doesn't show up, you are finished. Do you understand? A point came, we started traveling across borders. And then you are traveling to a nation where you fly for 11 hours. They book business class for you. Flight fare alone is over 3.5 million. You will not come there and speak English. And if you know you are not permitted to come there and speak English, then you better yield yourself to the Holy Spirit so that when you stand, he will show up. Most of you, 4 years ago, you were 20. So people understood you are a boy. Now you are 25. Some of you, you are 30. And so the people that used to dash your money, when they see you now, they say, what did you bring? Because you have left the realm of being dashed. They expect you now to provide something. But unfortunately, you have not transited. You are still as crippled and helpless as you were 10 years ago. And so because you have nothing to provide, you have no choice but to start lying. You have no choice but to start stealing. But I show you the key tonight. What will make you comfortably live in your glory is to yield to the Holy Spirit. This is why wise men are yielded. The Bible said concerning Jesus, when the Holy Ghost led him to the wilderness, he came out, he said, he returned in the power of the Spirit. When you yield, you return with something. The same way baptism provides something, that's how yieldedness provides something. If you don't transit, that's your office. That they recruited you today as an IT assistant, you'll be there for 10 years. And when you are there, your life will start going backward. Some of my friends that we graduated together, some of them traveled abroad, but they didn't go with value. So after a while, one was in Russia drinking coke and bread for 6 months. He ran back for his life. Because he didn't even have papers. They only go out at night. Like cockroaches. You know the nocturnal animals. If you go out in the daytime, you are caught, you are finished. Either you are sent to an asylum or you are deported. After 6 months, he ran back. There are some people today, when they graduated 7 years ago, 8 years ago, they became lecturers. And as graduate assistant, they were paying them 110,000. That was big money. 8 years later, they didn't transit. That 110,000 had become a snare. Because if you don't transit, the challenges of life will come to you. The spirits will come to you. The demands of destiny will come to you. And you will not have capacity. This is why when a man knows that transition is too important, every day, even when the Holy Ghost has not spoken, he's waiting. He said, I will stand upon my watch to see what he will say to me. If he will say anything at all. Because I know the faster I transit, the better for me. Because I can't continue selling slippers for 12 years. Because the time will come when people will no longer use ordinary slippers. I can't continue to sell spare parts. I have to keep migrating. So I need higher wisdom. I need higher authority. And the third code for transition is yieldedness. So when the Holy Ghost is not speaking, I'm asking him. Some wait. When they wait and he doesn't talk, they start asking, what will you have me do? What will you have me do? Because they know their glory is tied to it. But there are many who are not aware. They keep disobeying the Holy Spirit. And when you disobey the Holy Spirit, you quench the Holy Spirit. And the point comes, the wisdom dies. You become an ordinary man. And an ordinary man selling clothes will be doomed. An ordinary man in politics will be doomed. An ordinary man in ministry will be doomed. But a man who carries divinity is a man who is yielded. And every day he shows up, you see another flavor. You see another dimension. You see another aspect of divinity. This is the code. You want to transit? You must go back to every mountain of disobedience and make your way right. There are some of you here, God told you to pray at night. You thought, anytime you wake up, you will pray. You don't know that there are windows in the spirit. That time that instruction came was your window. It's your Kairos moment. If you wait until that window closes, the next time it will open will be 3 years' time. For some of you, maybe 5 years' time. And so you will remain on one spot for 5 years. The next instruction that should take you to the greater glory of your life, you are now repeating what you didn't do the last time. So if you are wise, before that window comes, you start obeying. So that when the next window comes, the Holy Ghost may give you double instruction so that you can move. But if you walk without yielding to the Holy Spirit, you'll be a slave in life. You'll be a slave. You will remain a man. And men beg. Men are defeated. Men die. Men are marginalized. Only those who carry the DNA of God are champions in life. I want to pray for you now. I wanted to go in my own way, but God said you show them this things. And now that I've shown you, pray for you. Meanwhile, the fourth and the fifth, you can go and study it for yourself. The fourth one is to carry the burdens of God. Burdens. When you see men that move, they are pregnant all the time. When they give birth to one, they take another one in. The Bible says when Moses was come of age, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He said he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of Egypt. For he had no respect for the reward. He said, by faith, he fled from Egypt, not fearing the wrath of Pharaoh, because he had seen him that is invincible. These are burden bearers. Every time you see them, Jesus said, the zeal of my Father's house have consumed me. That burden is what pushes them. So you come to a point where, when ordinary men are sleeping, you can't sleep. Not because prayer department is praying. The body won't let you sleep. Have you seen a pregnant woman before? Even at night, she's rolling on the bed. She's rolling because she carries something. Another life is being formed. Another being is being formed on her inside. So it's impossible for her to rest. Because sometimes, while she's about to enjoy a quick sleep, then the baby will kick. And as the baby kicks, she will wake up with pains. And so she will nurture and tend for that pregnancy. Until that pregnancy results in a travail, the birthing of that child is the shifting to another level. Men that move are carriers of the burdens of God. When you see ordinary men, they are without burdens. They move by the wind. As the wind blows, they follow it. They are tossed to and fro. They don't have any body. But I'm telling you today, there are men today that have a body. And their burden is, if Solomon could gather enough wealth alone to build the tabernacle of God, I will not die until I have sponsored the move of God around the world. Because of that body, God begins to give them wisdom for wealth. The reason is because my kingdom through prosperity shall yet be spread abroad. You may see them making money every day. You think it's about the money. It's not the money. There's a body. They want to see the move of God in Afghanistan. They want to single-handedly sponsor the move of God in Pakistan. They want to sponsor the move of God all around the world. And because of this, when men are sitting, they are still doing business around 2 a.m. in the morning. And you say, you don't you close from work? They can't close. That body has consumed them. There are some men who said, if Moses can bring down Egypt, I will not die until Nigeria is restored. So when people are going into election, they are praying in tongues. And when you check, they have fasted for 400 days. That fasting is not to come and preach. That fasting is actually until the new Nigeria is born. So they have no time to tell you how long they have fasted. Because their goal is not how long they have fasted. Their goal is to see the new Nigeria. That's the burden they carry. And for such people, that burden becomes fuel. Every day they see corruption. Oh God. You may start praying with them. After 1 week, you get tired. Because your own prayer is motivated. Their own prayer is from a burden. And they can't rest so long as there's corruption. Until the new Nigeria emerge, they can't rest. There are many people today who have a body. They said, if only John Jide can enter Spokane and sicknesses will end, I don't want to see any creep in Abba. And you'll see that person in prayer night and day. His goal is not 12 hours. The man who is still priding in 10 hours' time is a baby. The real men that are praying, They are having their indicators are in the field. They are looking for something. They want to give birth to something. I want to abolish sickness in Abba. I want to abolish poverty in Abba. I want God to be feared in Abba. And everything you see them doing is sponsored by that body. The Bible spoke concerning Ezekiel. In Ezekiel chapter 4, verse 4 and 5, he said, God said, lie on your right side. I will put the iniquity of Israel upon your shoulder. And Ezekiel laid on one side for 390 days. That is not willpower. He was carrying a weight. It was a body. What was in the heart of God, he put it on Ezekiel. And for 390 days, he laid on one side. When he finished, God said, turn to your left side. I will put the burden of Judah upon you. I want you to bear their iniquity. And for another 40 days, for 430 days, Ezekiel was behind closed doors, carrying the burdens of God. Carrying the burdens of God. Did you not read about Simeon the prophet? They said, God told him, you will not see death until you see the salvation of Israel. And day and night, the man was praying in the tabernacle. You may think he's a useless man. He's pregnant. It's not his fault. He's not an ordinary prophet. He's a carrier of body. What is the body that is in your spirit? If you have no body, you will become an ordinary Christian. You will sing for the fun of it. You will pray to make a show of it. Even when God gives you money, it will be about holidays in Bahamas. It will be about Range Rovers and Rolls Royce. It means you have money, but you are a baby. When men who carry bodies come, they become stewards of the bodies of God, stewards of the mysteries of God. There are certain things of God that only money can sponsor. That's why they seek money. They are not seeking money because money has conquered them. They are seeking money because they need money to be sent on errand for the will of God to be done. There are certain men who are seeking some kinds of anointing today. It's because there's a burden in their heart. For such men, every day they service that body, they glow like the seraphims. You look at them, they are purified. Because the body purifies their motive. The body purifies their motivation. They are pushing after it until they see it. We have a generation of barren Christians. Jesus said, the sign that you are my disciples is that you will bring forth fruit and that your fruit will abide. You cannot produce fruit until you have bodies. There are many people today that have bodies for souls. They say, no, men are no longer repenting. Men are no longer coming to God. And night and day they pray. What is the burden you have? I want to pray for you. That by all means, you will not be a human. You will not be an ordinary man. That by all means, you will become one that God will trust. That when God wants to do something for heaven, from heaven, he will say, have you seen my servant? The same way he said, have you seen my servant Job? He can say, have you seen my servant Nathaniel? Have you seen my Michael? Have you seen my servant Martha? Have you seen my servant Mary? That from heaven, they will depend on you for something to be done. It's not only God that men depends on. A time comes when sons mature, and God also depends on them for things to be done. That's a level in the spirit. Too many Christians are behind. They are still seeking God for bread and wine. That's why we cannot come to the community of spirits. That's why we cannot come to the festival of spirits. Isaiah taught prophecy was about giving words of knowledge and shining until he came to the company of spirits. He said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. His train filled the temple. And immediately he began to confess. He said, woe unto me, I'm a man of unclean lips. How can a national prophet be cursing himself? Because he didn't know what the prophetic office represented. The prophetic office is not about word of knowledge. The prophetic office is about presenting the righteousness of God to a generation. That's why when a prophet shows up, men repent. But he was on earth giving word of knowledge. When he appeared, where spirits converged, he realized he wasted his time. He wasted his time. You will not waste your time on earth. You will journey with God until your essence will become the essence of God. You will travel with God until your visage will become the similitude of Abba. You will walk with God until God can trust you with divine assignment. He said, who shall declare his generation? Who is that man? Who is that man that can stand for God? Somebody will tell God that I am the one. I am the one. I am the one. Tonight, I am the one. I heard the story of Catherine Kuhlman. She came to God and said, Lord, I have nothing to offer you. But if you can use nothing, use me. And all her life, She became a slave of the Holy Spirit. She became a slave of God. She became a slave of divinity. The anointing of Kachin Kuman was not a gift. They were crystals of bodies. She had bodies for God. And they said sometimes she would pace the floor for 18 hours praying for the Holy Ghost to come. And even while she's standing there, she's waiting for the movement. Where is the Holy Spirit? Where is the Holy Spirit? When the Holy Ghost shows up, she became a God among men. What are you pregnant with? It's not just about impartation. It's about what you can become based on how far you can journey with God. Lift your hands to heaven. Into this place, I have to calm down to follow God, because if I continue with that explosion, some people will respond to the emotion, some people will respond to the atmosphere, but they won't know what we are pursuing. They will think it's another meeting where people are running in the hall and people are falling down. It's beyond it. It's about becoming the God that your word says, and it's about carrying what your God wants to show to your world, even if it costs your life. Some will say, if I perish, I perish. If God says something will happen in Aba, may I not breathe another day until I become part of those people? Whatever it will cost, I'll pay the price. Those are the kind of men God is seeking for eternity. This is why we travel. I left Gombe yesterday, I was drained. All kinds of things happened for me not to come here. But there are some men that God wants to choose. Some of them will go to the government. There will be so much authority on their life, they will change things in the government. Some of them will enter ministry and they will bet another order of ministry. Some of them will enter the economic world and they will bring sanity and integrity, because God is about to visit the territory. Just ask God. Tell him you present yourself tonight. Make those commitments before I pray. Because when I pray, the fire of God will fall on 12 people. It's a sign. He sent his word to Jacob, but he lighted upon Israel. Tell him you are ready. All you need is surrender and allow him to take over. I came to give you a code. I came to give you a map. A map that makes you journey from a man to a God man. And so now God is about to ordain some of his functionaries. As much as you can, I beg you, don't be distracted now. I'm not about to shout. I came as one under authority to commission men. In the name of Jesus. Now you are prayed. Tomorrow morning I'll do a revival service. I will fly. I will not hold myself. Father, some of you, the fire will fall on your head. Some of you, it will fall on your heart as a body. At least one of you will run. Because God will move you from place to place. He will move you from place to place. On ground and on land. Lord, where are those 12 ambassadors, 12 commissioners? Ushers, I want to lay hands on them. And so as God touches them, bring them here. Holy Spirit, you sent me to ordain these ones, that they may go forth and bring forth fruit, and that their fruit will abide. And so wherever they are, in this hall and those online, let that fire drop upon them now. From 1 to 12. Men that carry graces divine, dimensions eternal, depths of the spirit, wisdoms, authorities that only the spirit can give. From the left to the right, from the front to the back, Holy Ghost, touch them. Please help them. Twelve carriers of eternal graces, immortal dimensions. I call you now by the Spirit. Wherever you are, come up hither. Come up hither. Come up hither. Come up hither. Pateke bakados. Ferek. Takira akta monade. Tatali kiskaria takatoas. Viragaduna zenzakiba. Paroli atina kaskira paradakast. Teteli atondre paragiro sanda. Shagatina anzeando sibanda kirak. Taile niskavara dundavida kayash. Telosh, telosh, hidia, kido, barkira, takatira sanza, tekepuna tantalia, carriers of fire, take that fire. Mavela come la kino ballo bobokina, peleka sude, etatalina mantiada squata. We have come to draw from you again. We have come to draw from you again.
You were blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info.ejmi.ng@gmail.com or visit us on our website at www.encounterjesus.cc to enable us to reach you and afford us the privilege of discipling you. God bless you.